Thanks, Jeff, for taking the time to come on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Yes, no problem.
Jeff, let's start off. Tell our listeners and our viewers a bit about yourself and your company.
Yeah, my name is Jeffrey Adai. I was born and raised here in Ottawa, Canada. I went through the collegiate process after my local soccer career here in Ottawa, and graduated from the University of South Carolina. After that, I found myself signing to the professional club here at the time, Ottawa Fury. And then went on to play professionally in a few different countries, one being America, also abroad in Europe, in Germany, Finland, Luxembourg, in Albania, and Portugal. And then last year, I retired and stepped in to the CEO position at OPSM. I founded this with my brother in 2017, and it started off as just a company that was looking to help local based players in Ottawa kind of find the next step in their career in soccer and just do local soccer training. But now when we expanded and we're more global now, where we represent professional athletes, but we still help place hundreds of players across North America into different institutions. And that's kind of where we are currently, and now building into tech actually.
Nice. So
Yes.
Jeff, was it your playing career that when you were playing and maybe you weren't getting the guidance that you thought you should be getting, is that what made you think of launching this business?
Yeah, and it wasn't really just me because I have an older brother, Godwin, and he kind of had to do what we did, kind of did things together growing up. And then when he first went through the collegiate process, it was such a headache for my mother, himself, my dad, and kind of all of us who were involved in that. But after you go through it once, it made it much easier for me, and him helping me. And then I think through that experience, after we kind of both graduated and understood the college landscape a lot better, both in Canada and America, and the university landscape. Then with the local players here, we were able then to kind of help guide them. And it wasn't really, oh, we wanted to start a business. I think one parent offered to give us money for it. And then we realized, oh, maybe we can make something of this. And then organically just kept picking it up from there.
So, how difficult was it for you to be involved in the business while you're also pursuing a professional soccer career? Because you mentioned you started in 2017, but you were still playing at that time. So, what was that like, and who was running kind of the day-to-day if it wasn't you?
Yeah, so it was hard at times, and it was also really kind of easy because it kind of just kind of fit into my schedule. The good things about professional soccer is most of the time trainings were in the morning, and then the rest of the day you really don't have much other than weekends you have games, and then also having my brother alongside me who was handling a lot of the player representation and a lot of the things in terms of the anything that had to happen locally or certain events and attending, he was able to kind of cover that while I was able to kind of more focus on expanding the business internationally. And then kind of even before COVID happened, we were already doing a lot of meetings online and so forth, which kind of helped us kind of navigate through that process. So we were able to operate pretty well even while I was playing. I think at times for myself, maybe a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of early mornings, especially when I was in Europe, I would have to stay up really late to be able to be on this time schedule with everyone who was based in North America. But basically, that's kind of how we were able to do it, and that's kind of the struggles I would face. I think I'm 32 now. I think if OPSM didn't start, I would still be playing professional soccer for sure. But it got to a point where I saw a bigger career. Kind of with the company and kind of with the younger players that were coming up, that I would probably be better suited to help players who are younger than me and who need more relationship and connections. I think they could have a far bigger career than I ever had.
It must be very re rewarding for you to know that you're going to have such a major impact on a young person's life as they as you kind of steer them through their career. Is that a big driver for you?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's why we got into the business. As I said, at first, it wasn't something we were looking to build into a business even. We were literally just helping. But we come from a family that's, very Christian oriented. My dad's a pastor, and we learned to serve. And I think that's kind of what was in our nature to just like help players who needed help with soccer training. And then I think organically, as that turned, yes, it went into a business. And I think that's still what drives myself and my brother today is just being able to help players who had the same dream and passion as us, which makes it not so much as a job. It's like you feel kind of more required to do this. And that's why I think it's like our purpose, and that's why we just enjoy it till this day.
It's interesting, I'm going to butcher this quote, so I won't even attempt to quote
Okay.
it. But years ago, I read a passage, a quote, and basically what it said was, if you're just getting into business to make money, you're going to fail. But if you get into business to serve others in whatever capacity that is, then the money will find you.
Well, yeah. So that's exciting. I might need to literally write that down, but that's literally what we feel has happened with us.
So take us through those initial stages, Jeff. So it's you mentioned, you had somebody reach out to you and ask for some help, and then you helped that person. And when did at what point did you know, hey, maybe we could make this a full-time business?
Yeah, well, I could take you through kind of the story as I remember it. It started off, so basically, when I was in college and university, I was like making highlight videos, soccer highlight videos for a lot of like players and kind of helping on that side. Godwin was done school now and back in Ottawa and was like helping kids with personal training and kind of assisting players there. And then it got to a point where players needed both and kind of needed more of like the services we pro were providing that we didn't really know we were at the time, but realized that like, hey, these are things. And basically at the time, after Godwin finished his career, he was working at a local physio clinic. And he ran into basically our business mentor of ours today, who has helped us kind of grow BSM, called Jason Teal. And he was the one who gave Godwin so much insight on business and kind of talked about the philosophy of the four pillars, which is like your mental, technical, tactical, and physical training. And that's what we use to kind of put together a kind of a business plan. And then I remember being in Germany and Godwin telling me, hey, like how do you like this logo? How do you like this? Like let's do this business. And I wasn't taking it serious. I was like, man, I have no time for that. Like this is not happening. Like, leave me alone. Who's Jason Teal? He's crazy. Sounds crazy. Like, I'm not. I just want to play soccer. But eventually, I'd be like, okay, maybe I like this color and this logo. So he started to get me, and then we all started to just kind of push through it, and then that's how I think it originated. And then, like I said, these players were asking, like, hey, parents were asking, like, hey, how could you help my son with this and this, or my daughter with this and this. Then we started to create packages. We started probably created like a billion packages to this date, but now we think we finally got the service and how we offer things right. But it took a lot of trial and error to get to this point.
Now you were an athlete, so having a mentor is similar to having a coach. So it probably came pretty naturally to you to accept that the advice from that person. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's so valuable, and I even see it now with the kids and players that we're helping. But when Jason kind of came into the picture for Godwin and myself, it did feel exactly like a coach, but not on the field, but more off the field with our mindset, with kind of business decisions. And then we started to add more people, like my childhood friend Mackenzie Longper, who works as the strategic developer and the president in the company. And then having more of those people involved in the company helped kind of elevate everything that Godwin and myself were doing.
The reason why I bring that up, Jeff, is that I have a belief that entrepreneurs, by our nature, we can be stubborn, we can be, I hate the term, but control freaks. And I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, it's difficult to take advice from somebody because we want to think we have all the answers. And I would argue that having a mentor, having a coach, whatever that looks like, paid or unpaid, is really, really important. And I think you're kind of backing that up. But do you agree?
Yeah, I 100% agree. And like you said, it started from sports. Like I think growing up valued so much being able to learn and improve because I saw what it did in my career, having my dad first as like my first soccer coach and helping train, and then having such great coaches across even here in Ottawa, and then in my professional career. So I think it came more natural to my brother and I to accept advice and guidance from mentors, specifically Jason. And that's why I till this day, I'm always wanting to know more. But I totally get what you're saying, that on a business standpoint, sometimes you're too stubborn and you think everything's your idea and so forth. But I think very early on, we didn't have that, and I think that's what helped us grow Opus and bigger than what we could just imagine ourselves.
So, Jeff, is there anything else you want to add about that mentor coaching relationship? Like, here's where I'm trying to go with this. For the entrepreneur that's listening, they may be struggling and they may be hesitant to want to reach out to someone or think it's going to cost them a bunch of money. I always make the argument, really is the ultimate investment in getting a coach. And even if you don't, by investment, I don't necessarily mean money. It's in terms of your time and that mentor's time. And I'll give you an example. I spoke to a group of entrepreneurs, this is years ago, and I said, if any of you are looking for a mentor, I'm pretty selective, but by all means, talk to me afterwards. And the response was, you could see they're almost guarded, like, oh, there's maybe this guy wants something other than just a mentorship. Maybe he's going to ask me for cash at some point or something like that. But that wasn't the case. But I find too many entrepreneurs really do resist this idea. So, what advice would you give to someone that's listening that's saying, I don't need this, or where do I find this person? Can you take us through that a little bit?
Well, the advice I would give is like if you want to fast forward so much of your time and your business and be in a better place, I think that's where a mentor comes and helps. They really could help accelerate your business, your career, your thinking, your understanding. And that's why it's been so important for myself and my brother, especially because there's a lot of things we didn't know, we didn't learn in school, and that you get through personal experiences. And when you have someone who has understanding of your industry, have understanding of other industries, business as a whole, you're just really able to fast forward everything that you're doing. And that's why I think it's so important. I think it doesn't make sense to be so guarded about it. I think it's better to try it. And if it doesn't work out, sure. But what you have to gain by working with a mentor and having someone you trust and can build a relationship with, and a lot of the things comes to with decision makings and decisions that you have. And being able to have another voice that has a good understanding instead of coming to them when they won't have an understanding of kind of where you've been and where you're trying to go, it's going to get very difficult. So I think it's very key to have early on because the more information you could give to an individual like a mentor, in the future when you're making a decision, and it could be a huge decision, they have more context and are able to help guide you. So yeah, I definitely recommend it.
So, mentorship aside, Jeff, what advice would you give to someone that's listening that currently is running a business, but they're struggling? And I say this all the time, but as entrepreneurs, I don't care how successful we are, we've all had moments where we've struggled. So, what advice would you give to that person listening that may be struggling a little bit right now?
Yeah, I would say look directly into your network, family and friends, or people who've maybe reached out in the past, and go ahead and shoot them a message and or give them a call. Let them know kind of where you're at, and then I think once you have are able to start those conversations, you'll be surprised where things could go. But definitely be the one to initiate it and try to reach out because, just like you were saying, Pat, like it's not every time someone like you will go out and say like, "Hey, you're offering this." Sometimes it's the other way around. You actually have to go out and look for these people and tell them that you need help. And then a lot of these people love business, love being involved in new things. That I'm sure that they will help you in some aspect. So I definitely say, be willing to take an initiative and kind of take that first step by giving a call, shooting a message, and just trying to explain what you're doing.
Entrepreneurship by its nature can be pretty lonely. And so I think that's really good advice, Jeff. I mean, you've got your brother, I assume your partner's in the business together. So,
Yes.
that's a pretty unique situation and a really good one, quite frankly, because now you've got somebody like and trust, you can bounce things off of. But there's a lot of people out there that don't have that and they're by themselves. So it can be pretty lonely. So I really like that advice to reach out to. I think it's okay to admit if you're struggling. And I think that's an issue a lot of entrepreneurs face is they don't want to admit that because they're assuming that means they failed. It doesn't mean you failed at all. It just means you're struggling. We all struggle with these as owners of businesses. Agreed?
Yeah, 100%. And actually, you actually brought, I couldn't imagine doing it myself. Like you said, I have my brother, but if I don't know how to deal with so many things that will happen by yourself, is it's going to be taxing, and I think it's going to be a lot. So I definitely encourage people to reach out.
And Jeff, what advice would you give to someone that's listening, that's thinking of starting a business? Maybe they've had this idea in their head for a while, but they just can't get themselves to take that final step to start something. You've been there, you started it part time and while you're being an athlete. So what advice would you give to that person?
Don't take too much time thinking. I think you have to go ahead and jump into it. I think for me, it's better to fail than to lose out on such a great opportunity. I think the amount of things, even if this were to be successful for myself, I think the amount of relationships I built, the amount of experience I've got, knowledge I've gained, is totally worth it. So I think there's too much to lose to not go ahead and step and get things going. I think it's as simple as, sometimes just, oh, I don't know how to register a business or this. I think there's so many tools out there now. There's so many mentors. There's so many resources online that it's not as hard as maybe it might seem. I think the biggest thing is kind of your mindset and being able to just kind of take the initiative.
And how does somebody develop that mindset? Is there any tools or techniques as both an athlete and an entrepreneur that you've learned over the years, or even just one that you can share with our listeners?
Yeah, I think one great thing is similar to what you do, Pat. Exactly what you do, actually. I'm on YouTube a lot. I'm listening to a lot of podcasts of people who've been there, who've done it, and they give you all these different tools and tips. And I think if there's one thing I would say is I would say do that. Observe knowledge of people who have been there and have done it, and you could access all of that online now.
And it's interesting you say that because, when I first started this podcast, 10, 12 years ago, I had a standard question, which was, okay, what books have you read? It was very, so much has changed in the last 11, 12 years. But now there's just so much information out there. I think it's both a blessing and a curse, though, Jeff, in that where do you start? So is there one or two people, influencers, business on the business side that you may not have a relationship with them, but you've listened to or you've resonated with?
Yeah, it's funny you say that about the books to start off. I think that's kind of where I started. I was kind of on that split, and in school I was recommended to re read Thinking and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. So
Yeah.
that was a great book to kind of help with the mindset. I think
I've got it right back there behind me over here.
okay, yeah, so
Yeah.
fantastic. So I think there's great books. I think, for example, your podcast and what you offer is a huge first step for a lot of listeners, especially ones all in the local area, because you'll be able to relate to a lot of what they're gonna have to go through in this type of market. I think there's a lot of other great ones. I listen to like a lot of Harvard business journals. One in particular that at the top of my mind that I listen to a lot is I honestly, there's so many out there now, as you say, that I think you go in and you research more on kind of what you're looking to do, your topics, and so forth. And I think you see a lot of different people, and I try to observe from as many people as possible. So I think as long as it relates to what you're doing, you get a few different perspectives. I think then you're able to take the bits and pieces that make the most sense and that resonate the most to you, and then I think run with that.
Jeff, years ago when I started this marketing agency, excuse me, there were so many different people. And I was trying to follow everybody. And I said, you know what? I'm going to pick three. And there are going to be three people that I really, initially, that really resonate with me. And then I kind of stuck with those three for about a year. And then I said, okay, I've absorbed what they have, continued. Now I'm going to add another one. And then another one, rather than trying to listen to 50 people all at once, I found that worked for me. Everyone's different. I get it. But I also think, that person that's listening, that's thinking of starting a business, maybe one of the reasons why they haven't started yet is because they have almost too much information and they're a little bit overwhelmed. And I know when I'm coaching young, new entrepreneurs, I find a lot of times they've had this idea in their head in some cases for years. And they've got all these, like they've got multiple business plans, and but they haven't taken any action yet. They haven't done anything. I want to talk a little bit about you started this part time and how that relates to people that are listening that may be thinking of starting. It doesn't mean you have to jump in right away. So can you take us through that a little bit? Like, you had your playing career for What is it, 7 years, 8 years?
I think, well, I was playing in college and then professionally over 10 years.
Over 10 years, so from 2017 to just recently. So, that's a long time to have a business, to be involved in a business on a part-time basis, but I assume there was big benefits for you. Can you share some of those benefits as opposed to just jumping in 2017?
Yeah, I think it's great to start off first while having something on the side. Like I said, Gonum was still actually, when we started the business, he was still working as an athletic trainer, you would say, part time. And then and after he was playing, so he kept a kind of a side job as well. And then I had the professional career I was still doing, just because one, financially, it doesn't burden the business as much and yourself. And in terms of your personal growth, and then two, you are allowed to kind of, take more risk, I would say. And it's easier to start, I think, is the big thing, because you're not giving up so much. So I think that's the best way, actually. Now that we're speaking about it, I think to get started is obviously, doesn't mean you have to quit what you're doing right away or not look for something stable if you're setting something on your own. I think it's fine to do both. And then eventually, when it grows to a point where you think it's self-sufficient and you could run on its own and the income is fine, and you feel that you need to take that step, I think that's the time to pull the trigger and then you jump in full time on it. And that's kind of what happened with us. A bit more natural and just kind of going with the flow, but that's literally what the timeline looked like and what made us make the certain decisions.
And Jeff, what would you say to someone that's listening is thinking, that's easy for these guys to say, I don't have time, I'm working full time, I've got other things on the go. You've been there, I've been there. What would you say to that person?
Yeah, you're never gonna do it then, because there's never gonna be enough time. Like I said, I might have downplayed the soccer that I had the whole afternoons and stuff, but it's not like I had time. You have to make time for it in order for it to succeed and for it to happen. So if you really want to do it, you'll be able to make the time, no matter no matter how long you're working, no matter all the things you have kind of in the way. I think you have to find a way to kind of put those distractions or excuses, even own personal excuses, away and just kind of and do it and make time for it. And I think that's all that has to happen.
That's great advice, and I won't even add to it because that's exactly what I would have said. Jeff, believe it or not, we're out of time.
Oh,
Before we
fantastic.
let you go, where can our listeners find out more about you and your business?
You could find us online and through social media on Instagram. Our agency is OPSM Pro, or at OPSM Network, and on our website it's www.opsmpro.com, and we also have our other website opsmnetwork.com. And Pat, thanks so much for having us. We're actually in a cool transition where we're launching our new platform, which is a Connect platform, which is just kind of an online marketplace for soccer players to get connected and reach the next step of their career. So I'll be excited to talk to you more and get your advice on that very soon, by the way.
And when does that launch, Jeff?
We're going to be launching in September, is looking like the timeline. But yeah, looking for advice, kind of doing the final planning and so forth. So that's the next side, and us really pushing out into the tech side of the sports tech.
If you're open to it, we should do a second part two of this podcast after things have launched and the dust has settled a bit. I think our listeners would love to know more about that.
That'd be awesome. That
Thanks,
sounds
Jeff.
good.
Thanks, Jeff. Really appreciate your time today. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was great seeing you again, Pat.
Take care.
Take care. Thank you.